I don't think we're speaking on behalf of Kenyan government because we haven't had President Kibaki say something along these lines. I think he was speaking in his capacity as the Prime Minister of Kenya and in his capacity as Raila Odinga, who is also a Pan-Africanist, who wants to see change in Zimbabwe. He called himself a pessimistic African who thinks that African leaders ought to do more to stop the silence and maybe speak out more about what's going on in Zimbabwe.
Kenya itself has a lot of post-election issues to put back in order after a very disruptive electoral process. What did Mr. Odinga tell the forum at Washington Center for Strategic and International Studies about Kenya's most pressing problems?
Well, he tackled the coalition government that is right now underway. He said they are very, very hopeful that this coalition government will work. But if it works, then it's going to be a model for other African states in the future. He talks about how the coalition government has come together not only to look at what happened during the post-election violence, but he also talked about what the government is doing as far as resettling the people in IDPs is concerned, the land issue in Nyanza province. He pretty much touched about every single thing that the coalition government is trying to do to bring back Kenya to where it was before the election, and he also urged the U.S. government, other partners to come back to Kenya, not to watch from the sidelines, but to help them rebuild a country that was once known as a beacon of hope for Africa.
Well, you've raised an interesting thought here. What issues is he bringing to Washington to be discussed with U.S. leaders, and what types of U.S. assistance do you think would be most welcome for meeting Kenya's most urgent needs?
The number one thing would be their economy, because they lost so much when they went through that period of violence. So basically, he's urging the U.S. government and other concerned partners to give a helping hand to Kenya, not only in terms of development, but maybe aid that can help to relocate those people who are displaced, aid that can go to the healthcare system, aid that can go to the tourism industry, which has been, even still is, the bread and butter of Kenya.
Well, there are a number of ministers accompanying Mr. Odinga here to Washington, including transportation and trade. Do you think investment is very much on their minds?
Absolutely. Investment is very key because it's not going to take Kenyans alone to rebuild their nation. They need help from outside. International investors who can come into Kenya are welcome anytime because after this kind of violence, the country is trying to recover. So they need more people to bring in incomes of all sorts and maybe help in rebuilding that country by way of investing in that economy.
And did Kenya's role as a U.S. ally in the war against terror come up in the discussion at the center?
Of course, he talked about their continued support for the fight against terror. If you remember, in 1998, Kenya experienced one of the worst horrors of terrorism, where not only Americans died, but also Kenyans died in that bomb that blew off the Kenyan embassy and Tanzanian embassy. And he said that the coalition government has pledged support to the U.S. government and other partners, and they're going to continue doing that because they don't want to see any other acts of terrorism take place in Kenya.
Hunger is another pressing issue affecting large regions of northern Kenya, and also caring for and serving as a hub for hunger relief to neighboring Somalia. Did any of that discussion come up this morning?
Of course, he talked about Somalia, about Sudan, the role of AU, the African Union, to be more proactive in what's going on in our own continent, other than expecting international aid agencies to help. In fact, he blamed Africans for not taking leadership in terms of trying to solve the problems in Somalia, the problems in Sudan, because at the end of the day, they all spill down to Kenya, because Kenya shares a border, not only with Somalia, but also with Sudan. So they have to figure out a way of dealing with those problems. And he basically urged all African leaders to play a role in trying to solve some of these problems that are facing the continent.
Which brings us back to Zimbabwe. Did Mr. Odinga indicate that he speaks for a lot of Africans who hold similar views on the problems with the election in Zimbabwe? And is there an effort by Kenya to get other African countries to get SADC, for instance, to put international observers on the ground in time to ensure a free and fair election on June 27th?
he actually spoke passionately about Zimbabwe. He called on other African leaders to speak up against what's going on in Zimbabwe and urged President Thabo Mbeki, who has been mediating some of the talks between the ruling party ZANU-PF and MDC, maybe to do more as the chairperson of that coalition. And he said that it's going to take other African leaders really to speak out against what's going on in Zimbabwe. He criticized the African leaders who have been silent. He called on all African leaders to use this time to talk about what's going on in Zimbabwe. He talked about the inflation hitting 200,000 plus, how there is an exodus of people leaving Zimbabwe looking for safe haven in South Africa. So he said that people should come out and talk about it and say, no, we are fed up with this type of leadership that is not looking up for its own people, but trying to harm its own people. So he basically, in the strongest terms, condemned what's going on in Zimbabwe.
I'm wondering, though, the fact that he was here in Washington and addressing so many things involving Kenya, and that the subject of Zimbabwe took such a great percentage of the discussion, do you think that there's a bit of irony in that?
You could say that, but I think that the reason Zimbabwe took center stage is simply because he's one of those African leaders who has spoken out against the regime, because he's been a victim in Kenya. He won the election, and according to him, he's the president who has never sown in. That's how he put it. So I think when he looks back at what he went through last year and early part of this year, somehow it keeps on resonating in his mind. And with all that is going on right now in Zimbabwe, he said there is no way they can have an independent, later on, a free and fair election, because the opposition's hands are tied. The government has all the establishment behind it. It has all the government machinery behind it. Yet the opposition is in and out of jail. So those are some of the things that he looked at and said, no. Africans can do better. Zimbabweans can do better. And we need to move away from this kind of rhetoric to something that is really going to work for the people of Zimbabwe.
And he speaks with authority, having experienced it himself.
Absolutely. You couldn't get a better answer out of that guy speaking in the strongest term about what's going on in Zimbabwe than anybody.